Jesus said to his disciples, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is completed? Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. Please, would you be seated? So one of the things that unites us as Brits is that we love to talk about the weather. How it is now, how it is going to be in the future, and our changeable weather, well, it makes it a national obsession, doesn't it? So this morning, let's see how good you are at telling what the weather is, what weather is coming from cloud formations. So hopefully you got a little bit of piece of paper when you came in. Have a look at that. I hope this works. I'm going to show you four cloud formations, and we've got five answers as what weather they might be bringing. Okay. And what we'll do is we'll show one, have a look, and then I'll go through the options and put up your hands for the option you think it is. All right. So I'll show a slide. Yeah, I'll go through the options, and if you think it's the first one, then if you think it's rain or snow in the next 12 hours, put your hand up, all right? So we'll see how it goes. It'll get easier as we go through, because obviously some of those we crossed off. Let's see whether this works. Okay, so first one, right. Is this rain or snow? If you put your hands up if you think it is. Rain or snow in the next 12 to 24 hours? Warm weather, possible rain? Got one at the front. Thunderstorms. Okay, one at the back. Clear, fair weather. Oh, okay. Hailstorms. Okay, nobody. Right. The answer to that one was, I tell you what, I'll tell you at the end. All right, good. That way you've got more to vote on, haven't you? Okay, second one. This one. Rain or snow, next 24 hours? No. Warm weather, possible rain? Okay. Thunderstorms? Okay. Clear, fair weather? All right. Hailstorms? Okay, we haven't had any hailstorms yet. Okay, next one. Ah, right. So this one is, you can spot it because of that halo effect around the sun or the moon. Rain, snow in the next 24 hours? Okay. Warm weather? Thunderstorms? Okay. Clear, fair weather? No. Or hailstorms? Oh, some people are going for hailstorms on that one. Okay, great. And the last one? Oh, someone said, oh, I'm going to change my answer now. All right. Rain or snow? Warm weather, possible rain? Okay. Thunderstorms. Clear, fair weather. Oh. Or hailstorms. All right. Rob, can we roll them back to the first one, and then we'll go through each one? Thank you, sorry. Okay. So the answer is, number one is warm weather, possible rain. That is alto cumulus, apparently. The second one, this one's the easiest. Thunderstorms. If you have a cloud that looks a little bit like an anvil, That's thunderstorms are coming and lightning. There we are. The next one, number three, that is rain or snow, probably in the next 12 to 24 hours. Cirrostratus. And the last one, I think a lot of people got this one right, actually. That's clear, fair weather coming. Cirrus 4. No hailstorms. You're all right. Well done. Well, if you get nothing else from today's talk, hopefully you'll get wet less often. You'll be able to see what's coming. But let's hope you get more from today's talk than that. So like us, the Israelites in today's true Bible story from Luke could spot when the weather was coming. It's hardly surprising, given they didn't have a weather report back in the first century Palestine, and they would need to know what the weather was going to be doing for their farming or their warfare or going on a journey. But Jesus, when he's talking to them, and you've got keep hold of your reading here, it's worth having that in front of you. He didn't congratulate them for their prowess in meteorology. Rather, he called them hypocrites. This was because the Israelites, they weren't known as the tribe who were great at guessing the weather, but rather they were the chosen people, God's chosen people, people for who for thousands of years they'd been listening to God and waiting for his promised Messiah, his promised king that would set them free. They were the people who regularly went to the temple to listen to the Torah, the Jewish Bible. They were the people, the men particularly, who went to Torah school for years and learned Bible passages off by heart. They knew about the prophecies in the Old Testament, in Scripture, about the Messiah, the King, what he would be like, where he would come from. They would have read Isaiah 9, 6-7, which talks about a child being born to rule with attributes of godlike justice and peace. Or Zechariah 9, 9, which talked about Zion's king entering Jerusalem on a donkey. Or Jeremiah 23, 5, 6, in which a future descendant of King David will reign wisely and justly, bringing righteousness and justice to their land. And many more. 300 prophecies, they say, in the Old Testament that all point to Jesus, to the Messiah. Every year, there were loads of festivals reminding them of all the stories in the Torah and reminding them the Messiah had been promised and was going to come to them. I've mentioned before in talks that the word hypocrites comes from the Greek meaning mask, as in the mask that Greek actors wore. Now, I suspect that Jesus, because this sounds a little bit out of character for Jesus, doesn't it? He was never mean. He was never unpleasant to people. But I think he was saying, you all appear to be good Jews, devout members of the chosen people, longing for the day when the Messiah returns, but actually that's just a mask, a religious front. Here I am. The Messiah is standing in front of you doing great works, and you're missing it. Are you really seeking the Messiah? Or is it all just an act? Now, part of me feels a little sorry for the Israelites, for the Jews in the story. You know, they're being told off by the Messiah because they didn't recognize that he was there in front of them. Sometimes you just don't see what's in front of your face. Here's a video to show that that is indeed the case.
Would you recognize this guy if you saw him in New York's Times Square? Superman himself, actor Henry Cavill, decided to do a little experiment. He stood under the enormous billboard for his new movie, Batman vs. Superman. Guess what? No one recognized him, not a single person. And he even wore a Superman t-shirt. They may not have noticed him in Times Square, but the movie, which opens March 25th, is expected to be seen by millions.
Day versus night.
And so the Son of God, more powerful than any Superman, was standing before the Israelites, who had been waiting for him, apparently, doing the work of God that would change the world forever. And so many faithful Israelites missed it. So the question for all us, for us this morning is, we can interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but do we know how to interpret the present time? What do I mean? Well, can you recognize the presence, the influence, the activity of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, when it's in front of you? Author Henry Blackaby, in his book Experiencing God, said that Jesus' followers are called to observe where God is already working around them and join him there. Now, you might think it's difficult to spot God at work, but there's no doubt that God is at work in the world around us, because what Jesus talks about in today's passage happened. Right at the beginning, he says, doesn't he? He came to cast fire on the earth. Now, that sounds uncharacteristically violent for Jesus, but actually fire in the Bible represents holiness, purification, judgment, and the presence of God. Jesus says he longs for all of that to already be ablaze on the earth. And of course, through his crucifixion and resurrection, and then sending of the Holy Spirit, which is also a fire, Jesus provided us with a present in which human beings can be holy, we can be purified, we can be judged but forgiven, and we can live in the presence of God 24/7. All the things that Jesus wanted for humanity when he was talking to those Israelites about casting fire on the earth, all of those things are now available to us. And so as God's holy people, we should be looking out for where our Messiah is working now and ask him if he wants us to be involved. We should be looking around us to see the signs of God's presence, his influence, his life-changing power. So I'm suggesting this morning that we should think of ourselves not as weathermen, but as weathermen. See what I did there? Weathermen and women who are always looking out to see whether God is at work around us and praying about whether we can serve him in that work. Okay, so what are some of the signs of God working? Well, first of all, I want to say, don't think that God can't work anywhere. You may have been in a situation, you may be living through a situation right now where you think, God cannot work in that person. God cannot work in that situation. It is so bad. It's going to have to work itself out. God cannot be there. But Psalm 24 tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all who live in it. So there is no situation where God cannot be working, because he's Lord of everything. He can be working in your office, at the school gates, in your sheltered accommodation. He can be working in your husband or your wife or your friends or your children, on the bus, here in church, even in the Houses of Parliament. He works everywhere. The deepest and the darkest situations is where often God's light is brightest. So this morning I want to keep things simple, and I'm going to group some of the ways you can see God working around you into three buckets, three areas, okay? These aren't the only things, but I just thought, let's keep it simple. Number one, transformation. So look out. Look out for unexpected changes. If someone or a community is turning away from destructive behavior or habits or patterns, if they're growing in the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, kindness, if they're being healed of past hurts or anger, or are convicted of doing wrong, if they're actively searching for Jesus or faith or meaning. These are just some of the ways the Spirit of God can change hearts and transform people into the likeness of Jesus, because that's what we're all aiming for, right? We want to become more like Jesus in every way. So look out for unexpected transformation, number one. Number two, unification. Look out for unlikely, unexpected reconciliation or collaboration. Perhaps it's people of different backgrounds working together in harmony for a common cause. Maybe it's selfless acts of service without seeking recognition. Jesus' ministry was one of reconciliation, reconciling people to people and people to God. So if you see family members reconciling, if you see groups who are fighting or teams, they stop fighting and work together. Maybe it's somebody who's been wrestling with God for a long time, and maybe they are reconciling with Him. So, unification. Look out for unlikely, unexpected reconciliation, collaboration, and then say, what can I do? How can I help? And then thirdly, provision. Look out for unexpected provision. God's people are supposed to be generous. And the Spirit of God goes out, people are more generous. So look out for people getting their needs met in unexpected ways or times, people feeling God's presence or peace or clarity, seeing answers to prayer in Scripture, safety when people are at risk, maybe meeting someone just at the right time. Has that ever happened to you? Or a job coming along when you need it most? Or the provision of the good news of Jesus Christ in a situation that needs it? Jesus asked people when he met them, what can I do for you? What is it you want? What do you need? And so again, look around for those times where need is starting to be met. The food bank, I think, is a great example. Jesus was generous even to the point of giving up his life on a cross. Let me share a short story, again from that book I mentioned a little earlier, about somebody who spotted God at work, and by asking God, what can I do, and stepping up, the change was remarkable in all of those areas: transformation, unification, provision. Angola Prison in Louisiana is one of the largest and most formidable maximum security institutions in the United States. The vast inmate population serving life sentences, they have no hope for the future. Several years ago, the prison hired a new warden who was a Christian. And as he assumed his new position, he had no idea what God intended for that dismal, hopeless place. One day, a prisoner was executed for his crimes. The Holy Spirit convicted the warden that he didn't know whether the convict had been a Christian or not, but he had assisted ushering that man into eternity. But the warden sensed God wanting to use him to bring hope and salvation to the prison residents. His church had been going through the book, Experiencing God, and he decided to make that study course available to any inmate who wanted to take the course. It was also offered to those on death row. God began to transform lives through the study. Many of those awaiting execution became Christians. And in fact, so many prisoners were becoming Christians that seven different congregations were started throughout the prison. Violence and drug use in the prison was dramatically curtailed, and as the inmates completed the Bible study, they began to do other Bible studies. Some of the men even sensed God calling them into Christian ministry. Ultimately, a theological seminary began to provide training to the inmates and made the prison an official satellite campus. And some of the residents felt called to mission. And as a result, these prisoners asked to be transferred to other prisons where they began leading Bible studies and leading fellow convicts to faith in Christ. These inmates were making such a positive impact on the prison population that wardens from across the country began asking Angola Prison to transfer them, some of their transformed prisoners, to them. God has been working in the midst of one of the most demoralizing places in the country, and he'd been looking for someone to join him in his work. And when God invited the warden to join in, this man could not possibly have imagined all God was prepared to do. Such is the case every time God comes to one of his children and invites that person to join him in his mission. Amazing. being asked to be sent to a different prison just so you can run Bible study groups. It doesn't have to be setting up Bible study groups in prison, but it does have to be seeing what is around you. Jesus has set the world on fire through his death and resurrection, and so we should be keeping a weather eye for signs of him. That phrase comes from sailors scanning the horizon for a change. And then we ask God, how can we join in? Is it just a conversation with someone? Do we give them something they need? Invite them to church? Offer to pray for them? Do I need to be reconciled with someone? Or do I need to give them forgiveness? Finally then, what about verses 51 to 53, in which Jesus talks about coming not to cause peace, but division? Why did Jesus say that? Among those closest to us, simply it's because to choose to join in with what Jesus has done and is doing is to turn your back on the world. It's to do something that those people closest to you might not like or approve of. In this passage, Jesus speaks about his baptism, and he means his crucifixion. So joining in with God's work could be challenging. It might bring division, opposition, or even personal sacrifice. It couldn't have been easy for those inmates to start Bible studies in new prisons. But while Jesus' baptism was his crucifixion, it also resulted in resurrection, in new life. And our collaboration with God's Holy Spirit will be that for those around us. New life, salvation, reconciliation, needs met, sins forgiven, and hearts filled with love, joy, and hope. So, by seeing where God is at work and joining in, we will be, for those we serve, a ray of sun breaking through the clouds. Amen.